You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Tennessee's Whiskey, the number one bestseller by L. Loren. Single father Weston Daniels has built a nice life for himself and his five-year-old son. After escaping the nefarious family business, all he wants is the peace and quiet of the South and the occasional, no strings attached, roll in the hay. But destiny steps in when he meets an ebony beauty who bombards his bar. Grad student Patricia Woods is on the brink of homelessness and needs some quick cash to pay her overdue rent. A redneck bar named Whiskey's would do just the trick with its notorious bikers and flowing tips. However, when Weston's past catches up with him, he is faced with choosing between her life and the happiness he desires. Tennessee's Whiskey by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
From author Mahogany Silverrain comes the book, Tell Me You Love Me. Tell Me You Love Me is a paranormal and diverse romance novella. This is the first book in the Kenya Clark series. Breaking the laws of magic, a supernatural serial killer is unleashed on the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Special Agent Kenya Clark of the GBI Paranormal Crimes Investigation Unit has been given the case. Her partner hates anything to do with the supernatural. Kenya has a gift that allows her to see the crime through the eyes of the victim. However, in this case, she sees through the eyes of the killer. To solve the case, she must find out what her connection to the killer is. But will she and her partner be able to work together? Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverrain is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback editions, as well as the author's website, mahoganysilverrain.net. Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverrain. Order your copy today.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the Mahogany Says Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silvering, and I've got two wonderful guests from another podcast. I kind of borrowed them. From the Girl, Can I Ask You Something podcast. And I got a little treat for you guys. I heard your intro and I just got you. I hope you don't mind. I got to play it.
Girl, can I ask you something?
Introducing Rubnell and Tawanda. How are you guys?
Great. Hello. How are you doing, Mahogany?
I was like, oh, that's so cute. I got to play it.
I like that. I
love it.
That was a nice surprise.
You just set the tone.
Yeah. Because I know, you know, this. I like to have fun on my show. I like to, you know, relax and get to know people. And, you know, we're not all stuffy here. We just like to have fun and talk about books or whatever. Sometimes we end up talking about movies, too. So we are reviewing an audiobook called Rhapsody. It is The Butcher and the Violinist, and it is like part one of a series. And this is like my second mafia romance. This one's a French one. The first one I read was like an Irish one. And I got to say, I really like this one. It was cool. It was different. The tone and the setting was different, but hearing it, it was like watching TV. Did you get that vibe?
Well, I'm going to step in. Okay, go ahead, Ramel.
Go ahead.
Do you usually actually read your books, or do you? Is this the first time for you to listen to the book? Or
this is not my first time listening to an audiobook, but this is the first time I'm reviewing one.
Okay. I thought that it was interesting. This is my first time reading a mafia book, I think, at all in any sort. And it was definitely interesting. Between the mob theme and I don't know. Do you call it romance or is it erotica? I don't really know. Where? How do you feel about that?
It's. I would say it's more on the erotic side. The scenes were really, really hot. It, but it is a dark romance, I will say, because, you know, mafia is not. he was really stocky. You know, I just that's the thing. Stalker. And, you know, when she finds out that, oh, this whole thing has been going on behind her back and her aunt and just all these things, elements in it. But poor Eden, I would be humiliated. But then, I mean, you know,
they did see her in pajamas, so that was pretty bad.
Yeah. The elephant.
But we move on. You asked a question. I want to go back to answering. Did it look like, was I able to create scenes in my head? And I didn't even begin to start making the scene in my head until she started to play inside the brothel. Now, hold on. Before I go any further, Mahogany, do we just pour all the tea here? Do we, spoiler alert, we just go for it?
Okay.
I'm
not
to tell everything.
Spoiler alerts, because if they haven't read it or they haven't listened to it, they're going to be in for a surprise. And we don't want to spoil it too much. But we can share a little bit, but not, like, reveal the whole.
Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way, because I was about to just let it all out. So.
We want people to read it or listen to it to find out. Mm-hmm. We'll give them just enough to, like, hey, I want to read that. And that if, you know, when we get done with our review, because, I mean, there was, you know, some back and forth. But when once I got on, like, okay, there's some flashbacks here. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it
okay,
was,
so I can't tell everything.
Yeah,
okay.
You can't tell everything. We can give him some hints or, you know, a certain character we liked more than others, you know. And you really have to read number two, a sonata, to find out what happens to Shalimar. But and I want that. I do want to find
out. So you've already read the second one already?
No.
Okay.
I saw that there is a second one. I was like, wait a minute. This can't be all to it because he's telling how is it going to, you know, be, how are things going to work? And listening to it, I was like, there's got to be another one. So I looked and there is a second book called Sonata. And I really like how at the end he describes their relationship and how Rhapsody folds into it, I guess. I would say definitely there's a lot of action, and which I do like. I'm not so into the romance to where I can't, you know, a good chase scene or somebody is in trouble or whatever. But I liked it because I do like some action. I don't like it to be all just, you know, lovey-dovey and too easy and predictable. And this was not predictable by any means.
No. In the beginning, and this was my favorite part, and then I'll yield the floor to you, Ramel. But my favorite part was the beginning where we were trying to understand the scenario or people looking at her. Who were the people who were spying on her?
Yes.
What's going to happen? She's going to play in a brothel. You know, what is that going to be like? And what's that experience going to be like? And what kind of trouble is she going to get into? So it really built up a lot of sit on the edge of your seat, like, okay, now what's going to happen? You know, what's that going to be
she's
like?
You know, like this, she's esteemed, this esteemed play, you know, her talent for playing the violin, and she's in a brothel that her aunt runs, and it's like, wait a minute, because
I know, right?
Pulled down, everybody went to jail, something not right with that. Found out why, but you know, I will leave that to the readers to find that on their own. But I will say, it really kind of set things up to you're like, wait a minute, you know. And once he started talking, it was, oh, okay, like the accent got better.
Yeah. I think that was my favorite part is when he started talking. Because I, to be honest with you, it was when she was talking in his voice, I found that highly annoying. However, when he started talking in his own voice, and when he started talking in about himself and like how he got to where he is, and really like his feelings, like I liked hearing that. I liked hearing that a lot. And he, in the audiobook, he didn't really speak in her voice very much, whereas she speaks in his voice
a lot. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I found that kind of jarring, but I really enjoyed listening to him speak. And
I think, I'm sorry, what do you think, Ruth?
Go ahead, Ramon. What are you saying?
I was just saying, I think that I enjoyed just the mob aspect, like the whole adventure of how they got there, how they got where they are in this moment, that background. I think they went back, 3 years? And so I enjoyed kind of hearing him unravel that in between him and his crew. I enjoyed that.
Yes, I think that's who was your favorite out of the gang, so to speak?
What is that guy's name? I don't know who was my favorite.
Raphael?
I was surprised. I'm surprised you were saying that. Okay, go ahead.
No, I wasn't saying Raphael because Raphael is like the one who was like kind of being a jerk to Eden and maybe testing her. I don't know.
He was just testing her because he actually did have his own feelings for someone.
Yeah.
And I think that will probably be more revealed in Sonata too, because I think that that's something we're going to learn more about. But he does have his own interest in, you know, when the big reveal, you know, we find out that he was really just giving her a hard time testing her to see if she really cared about his friend, because, which I find kind of odd because the relationship between those two, it's like, they seem like they're always on the brink of fighting each other sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, he's the boss, but it's like, I was waiting for him to hit him. Just, you know, wait a minute. You hitting on my girl or what?
Yeah. I was too. I know. I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. He's going to die.
Right? Especially when she backs up into him, she realizes he's there and she's like, oh, how much did you hear? You know, it's like, or see? He was just like right there.
Yeah.
That was funny. She's like, you guys just keep on popping up. Like, I can't hear when you come. You know, what is it about being so quiet? She never knows when somebody's there. She had those dog ears. You're sneaking around. But I would be suspicious, all these Russian people walking around, these Russian guys in a brothel.
I just would have.
They don't seem to be enjoying, or they don't seem to be the Johns, of the brothel.
Right.
So
it just sounds
really
dangerous,
I
was intrigued by that part. I was like, something's going to go down. I had in mind shooting and dodging and naked ladies screaming and running through. That's what I had. I had a lot of ideas about where this book was going to go. Ramel and I talked. We were like, okay, before we get too far, what do we think is going to happen? And we wrote down this list of all the things that we thought could possibly happen in the book before we read the book. Once we got started, we knew what was going.
We actually had a bingo card. Like a list of things that we said, do we think this? I think we caught a lot of those items.
We did.
It was so much fun. It was a lot of fun. I think we should do that more.
I will have to just put it out there. The cock to nipple ratio was a lot higher than I expected in this book.
It was. I was going to say
that. We were.
That was,
I had no
I
idea how many times I was going to hear those words and her wet panties. I was so sick and tired of her wet panties.
I know.
Oh,
God, I love it.
I mean, there's only so many ways you can describe things, and I get that. But I try to use some flowery language because I get tired of using the same word, and it's I'm just waiting for, you know, chickens or something.
Yeah, well, you're an author, a writer. So for yourself, and you write romance, it's kind of romance, right? It's the paranormal, interracial kind of romance, right? So, like, in a situation like that, you probably wouldn't have, you think that was gratuitous, the amount of wet panties and hard cocks we had to, you know, endure.
Yeah, there's something, like
that feel
I said,
about right?
For me, I use other words. There's thousands, you know, millions of words we could use in the English language. So we know what it is, but I think it's kind of it's just because this is a dark romance. I believe that, you know, that was kind of they're rough, they cuss, that's what they say, and that's, you know, I think that's where that came in, because I've never written a mafia romance, but to me this is the second one I've read, and there was almost, if not equal or just a little bit less, but almost the same amount of cocks and nipples. But she didn't say wet panties. It was something else. But, you know, I mean, it's a lot. Even for me, and I write romance. But I it was more, like I said, on the erotic side, and your level of steaming. I would say this was a scorcher. Because I'd say more about, like, she got 50 little fire emojis from me, because that was just, there was a lot of steam coming.
Okay. So I need you to know that erotica apparently isn't my genre. I realize I haven't read that much erotica. And this book left me feeling like a prude. Now, I checked with my husband, and he assured me I am not a prude. So I was just being careful, you know. I was like, and I think it was because, like I said, the amount of talk and what I was most interested in, I actually found myself more, get ready for this, annoyed by Eden's character.
Yeah.
If we want to break into that some, I am ready for it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little, Eden was, I mean, extremely on the naive side. You know, number one, her father warned her about her aunt. Now, admittedly, he's off the rail. And then he left, you know, but he's grieving, so I guess there's that. But, you know, why men pull away from their daughter? Because it looks just like the wife that just died. So some men do that. And I've actually seen that. So that's realistic. However, Eden, boy, she just really wanted to believe in the sunshine unicorns. I mean, she did have an elephant pajama. So, I mean, maybe she's just in that.
The pajama.
She's a romantic.
She's horny as I don't know what.
I think she's still waiting for the whole, 24 and you still believe in unicorns. That's what I took account of it.
I just thought it was kind of peculiar too that she, besides her roommate, she didn't really have any friends. I mean, sure, she became friends with the girl in the shop, but she never called anybody. I mean, like, at 24, how many girlfriends do you usually have? Your girlfriends are a little higher. I just thought that was peculiar.
I didn't have many at 24.
You know what?
I had maybe one.
But she didn't call anybody. She didn't call anybody. Even the girls who she's working with, she only called
she was
like one.
To check on. Yes. While she goes off with this man for 30 days who she does not know, but who apparently knows everything about her. So, they look rough, you know. But yes, but anybody dealing with the mafia, and she was already warned. I mean, you know, Didn't Chalamar tell her in the beginning, you know, oh, he's such and such, they call him the Busher.
It was violent.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I anyone want to go named the Busher is not going to be. Yeah, it's not going. He's not going to be Prince Charming. That's just no way.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
I wanted to really like Eden sometimes, but yes, it was annoying and the overuse of the word. Like, you're a biracial woman. Did the word dick enter your mind at all? Just
okay.
Or,
thank you for saying that, because that was my next statement. I could forget that she was biracial all the time. It, whenever they made a mention that her complexion was darker or that she was a woman, I'd be like, oh, really? Oh, shoot, I forgot.
Right.
And, you know, that part didn't take off for me because she never code switched. Like, she never used the word, like you said, you know, the word dick never came to your mind. Really? And then.
And Leo, a gay
she
man.
She took him.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she, when she had a chance to take her man out, she could have chose a poetry slam. She could have gone to a concert. They could have gone dancing, stepping. She took him to some medieval
festival.
Really? Yeah,
that
I'm like, girl.
I like medieval festivals. They're fun. I used to go every year here in Atlanta.
You know what, though? And it's not that I would never go to one, but I never saw anything in her. If you didn't tell me she was a, she may identify as a black woman. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say black, because I found this book listed with the Black Women's Swirl List book or some book list.
Yes.
And so that means to me that she might identify as black, but date a man of another race. I just didn't identify her as black any point in time except that they said it. But she didn't come off as a black woman.
I think it was the
narrator. There was nothing added.
You know, I think it was
the
narrator.
But the writing didn't say her hair. She had to wrap her hair in a scarf or, you know.
Yeah,
just,
nothing that was.
Yes.
Because even my son who has mixed hair and my daughter, that they still have certain things that they got to do with their hair. I mean, they're still half black. I mean, so there was nothing about, you know, no differences.
Nothing made me think So it's okay. It's fine to know that she was a black woman dating a French man, but I only knew that because they said it maybe three times, but easily turned that off. This really could have been a white woman. I don't think there was much in the book that helped me see how, you know, identify with a lot more of an African-American culture. That didn't bother me at all, but I noticed that the book was proclaimed as an interracial book, and it's in the Black Women's Swirl, and there was no mention of that. It was just a thing I noticed about the book.
It was swirling.
Yeah.
I
know in the beginning they did tell what her parents were. You know, that's how I knew. Her dad was black, and, you know. Right. So I just...
But she didn't... I guess she didn't have...
I don't think she was raised with any black experiences at all. Because after dad took off, and then all she had was her aunt, and who I'm just guessing, but may have been white.
She had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah,
they described it.
Right. Yeah. So this was her mother's side of the family, and perhaps she did not grow up with any black women so that she could identify or understand or even, you know, act the same way as a black woman would. Because I know there's a lot of biracial women who do act black, but then there's other ones who you just, you know, even myself included sometimes, people really did not know what I was until, I mean, they can look at me and see it, but when I started talking, they just kind of looked at me funny. So, I went to private school up to the ninth grade, so. I was the only black kid. But after high school, I learned the hard way where the crib was. You know, I still thought it was a baby bed.
Oh, wow.
Boyfriend kind of like, sheltered. You know, you come see my crib. And I said, why do you still have your baby bed? And he said, my house.
So...
And I'm like, why did you just say your house?
You wouldn't have passed the urban SAT verbal part. I see. I understand.
I was raised by a black mother who taught at the private school. That's why I went to private school.
She was one of the teachers.
So I begged her to send me to public school because I wanted to be around my people because I didn't see any except for my mom and my sister.
See.
And like I said, all the way up until age 14, 15. So, yeah. So I got made fun of a lot.
I can relate. I can relate to that. You said talk white much? Is that what you just said?
I did because a lot of people said that. You know, I had that too. Oh, you talk white.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Especially growing up because I had I wouldn't say similar experience, but in the sense that I grew up in a predominantly white environment, and so you just naturally talk in a way that reflects your environment, right? And so that's how I really feel I was because I didn't really maybe incorporate some more colorful things until I went to a HBCU and so it was kind of like I think that's when I maybe added a little color to my vocabulary, if you will. But so I get what you're saying. I do. But I honestly don't think that. I honestly don't think whether she was black or not. Like, I think I agree with what Twanda was saying, is that her color really didn't come into play to me in this book. Like, she didn't run into any instances that caused her harm or, you know, anybody.
She didn't get pulled over by the police.
She didn't experience anything because she was a person of mixed race. It was just a fact. It was just a fact of who she is. She is a mixed race person. And continue on. it didn't become an issue. The book was fine.
Go ahead.
I'd like to harp on Eden a little bit more. I mean, she was the main character, and I ran into my biggest problems with her. I did not understand how she could be so sexually turned on by this man. So I kept trying to imagine how sexy he had to have been, where she couldn't think. And I feel like we jumped over love, and that's fine because I think it is an erotica book, so I don't think it was necessarily about love. It was definitely about lust. But I was surprised that they played her role or her character developed such that the sex and the stuff was more interesting to her. And I don't even think it was the stuff. It just seemed like the sex was most interesting to her.
Yeah.
She never did things that I would have thought a person would do. She didn't check in with her roommate or Shalimar or her auntie as like I think she would. I would have thought she would have. To just check on them or make sure they were okay and make sure she told. I was upset with her and that roommate. I was like, girl, you know he ain't got no money. He needs some money. You need to send him something to make sure he's okay while you off doing your thing.
She
didn't even act like she thought about him. And I was like,
Yes. And I think also because she does not have that male figure in her life. I think that's part of her infatuation, so to speak. That's how I took it. Because it's like she was looking at him. She's attracted to this person who, first off, is not a good person. He's called the butcher.
No.
But he's really nice to her and gives her whatever she wants. But it's not just that, you know, and, you know, if you've got a really good dad, you know, I can ask dad for anything, kind of. So I think it's a little bit of that. in there.
She got
for
daddy
her.
Issues.
Yeah. because he tells her what to do, she just does it. You know, and some people have that submissive personality to where, yes, and, you know, I'm a dominant person, that just wouldn't happen. I would question you ad nauseum, but that's me. She's very submissive, and she wants someone to pretty much tell her what to do because she's having all these problems. This man could take care of a lot of things. It was a lot of money, but, you know,
it was
for someone who is so green, would you really want to jump into not knowing anything about prostitution, just kind of jump, you know, in the deep end of that for a month for $100,000, you know, you wouldn't buy anything for money. But,
I didn't think but she seemed very naive, and I didn't relate with her very well, because if I found out the backstory that she was told that explained all the things that were happening in her life, and if I had gotten that type of backstory of how he came to know me and decide to make me the object of his addiction, that's what I'm going to call it, then I would have hightailed it out. I would have been running. I would have been trying to figure it. And she didn't take the her response wasn't anything like I would have expected. I was really expecting somebody to act like I would act and be appalled, and she wasn't. Not to my
it wasn't enough to, you know, she draw should have taken more than 3 days. Yes, it was too wet and just too, you know, he's too interesting. Because, let's face it, most girls like bad boys. And it's because they're more exciting. They want to do more things. Yes, you're right, up to a certain extent. But some people don't have that, especially a person with submissive tendencies will not have that, because they want someone to take control. They want someone to tell them what to do. It's a need. And she needed that. So that, yes.
Girl, can I ask you something? Did you marry a bad boy? Tell the truth.
We won't
tell anybody.
I did not.
Ramel,
I did the first marriage, but not this.
So you did it. Okay.
I did the first time.
Same question.
No, I married more like the Boy Scout than the bad boy.
I didn't marry the bad boy either. I hear that women like the bad boy, and I always thought, well, that's foolish. So I think that's why I had that opinion of Eden. It didn't make sense to me, but it never does when the girl chooses the bad guy, because that's just not not how I roll.
Now, have I dated a bad boy? Yeah.
I didn't ask you.
And it's
you
a lot of fun. I know you didn't ask me, but I'm just saying, like, I think
they are a lot of fun.
Say it again? Yeah, they are. They're lots of fun. And
they are.
You know, they're full of, you know, they're full of testosterone, and you know, they bring a lot of excitement, whether it's good or bad, you know, and
exactly
exhilarating. And so I understand her desire to be with a bad boy. I don't understand her desire to be with a stalker. I just,
that's why I call it a dark romance, because that usually seems to happen in dark romances. Because even Twilight was stalkerish. He was. He kept looking at, you know, he would pop up unexpectedly. So, I think a lot of them, it's kind of that darkness. Because, I mean, it's even in the book's warning at the bottom of the description in the book. It's dark. You know, the person who is submissive is not going to take it that way. This is the person who cares about me so much, they would kill for me. I mean, that's a little
red
exciting
flag
for something. You know? I'm sorry, but, you know, someone's dissing you. Your man is standing there, and what woman is going to, you know, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't say anything. That's, to me, what's wrong with you? I'm defending myself here. What's wrong with you? Why haven't you said anything? That's me. I'm going to fight, but, you know, you're supposed to be with me. What are you doing? But this man, you know, let's have him killed. He'll do it himself, or he's got people to do it. This is not a person you want to mess with. So maybe she feels protected. She, like she said, she felt protected on all
sides.
She
said that. Mm-hmm.
She was felt really protected.
You know, I always had this thing like going in the back of my head. But what happens when he tires of her? Like that's what I would have kept asking myself. But what happens when he doesn't like me like this? You know, he's having people, she is choosing to put on blinders to the fact of the brutality that's going on around her, right? She hears it.
Exactly.
Low key sees it. And she puts blinders on. So she knows he has this ability, this tendency, and actually the manpower behind it. She knows from all the stuff that she's looked him up that he's made people disappear, literally. And she's just, I kept saying, well, she never even questioned it. She never said, though, you know, I wonder. It's okay if she says, you know, I choose to stay. But she never even questioned it. That's what I was like. You didn't
I thought
even
she kind of did
that?
At the beginning. She questioned, I thought she did question it a little bit.
Did she?
Like, well, what if he does get tired? Because she didn't want the whole, you know, the girlfriend experience. She wanted more than that. When she was in it, she's like, is this what a girlfriend's supposed to do? What am I doing here? Should I feel bad for him? All these things that she's trying to, okay, this is just a financial arrangement. This is, you know, whatever. But when she starts to have feelings, then she starts questioning those things. But I mean, when she finds out how, and I don't know if he's going to get tired or if he's been stalking her that long. But,
I just want to get tired. Okay. I think he's going to get tired because he's a stalker type. If he were a regular man, he would get tired.
That's true. But
maybe
even so, wouldn't you be like a little afraid? You know, what if this joker never really lets me go? I mean,
no, he should be worried about that.
He dresses her, tells her what to wear. You know, those are red flags. My first marriage was like that. Mm-mm.
I mean, that's more so what I was talking about is like, you know, like she kind of glimmered, you know, glossed over the idea of there might be some bad stuff, but she's seeing all this bad stuff that he can create, and she wasn't like, she wasn't petrified. I would be like, what?
I would be petrified.
Did I get myself into? Like, is this $100,000 worth it? I would be questioning every decision I made, like up to that point. It was too much for me. And what is that?
No, I could see the first mafia romance that I read. It was an Irish mob, but she was just as bad as he was. So to me, those two really belong together because they were both nuts. You know, she was pregnant. She was cutting up, torturing people while she was in labor. And her husband had to beg her to stop so that he could take her to the hospital to have his kid. So,
this is a different book.
This is different. She's like, there is. She should have some sense. She doesn't have a bad bone in her body. She even her family's messed up, but she wants to, you know, well, I'm safe. And I don't know how long that's going to last because, you know, what if he does change his mind?
That probably won't even be a second book. She'll probably just disappear and we'll never know what ever happened to Eden.
No,
she tried to run
Sonata
away and he killed
the next
her.
One. So, we'll see what this Sonata. I'll have to read it just to find, because I want to find out, because it's just, it's weighing on my mind, because now I just feel sad, you know, I feel scared. I know it's a book, but you know how there's just some characters you're just like, oh no, you just can't be that naive or that silly, come on. But I'm kind of feel bad. But in most, I've seen it, kind of, it seems to be a pattern in dark romances where it's either the woman is just as bad or she's just total opposite innocent. And because they're attracted to because she's that innocent and he wants some type of redeemable quality in his life, some type of goodness, because they all seem to kind of have it. Even in real life, I've seen mafia wives, they're just, you know, who've gone into witness protection, who knew when they found out what their husband or boyfriend was, and they went along with it.
Right. Right.
Because they love that person. But, I mean, it, to me, it's got to be more than love. I would just, you know, what are you going to do? If you're already that ripped up, and then when you find out, I was like, I need to go to miss that right now. Sorry.
Okay, so I'm going to put out some projections. I'm going to put out some projections of what I think might happen next, because that was part of, I think it would be fascinating to watch, because this is a series. So I'm thinking a series would even have more than two books. So I project that Eden becomes a mafia queen. I don't know. What do you call that? I don't know. Whatever. She's going to lose her innocency, and she's going to join him in being ferocious. I haven't figured out how that's going to happen, but that's
I want to say goofy, but she's not really goofy. She's not thinking
she's
about
it. She's in a bubble.
She is in a bubble. But a man yelling and screaming, you know, if you hear something going on, wouldn't you be just, you know, that there is that little sense of, we have that fight or flight. We all have it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear someone and you're not a sociopath being tortured, wouldn't you want to help or get the heck out? I mean, that's just...
Yes.
That's just me.
That would... Yeah.
Hold on. Because I might be in your good graces now, but if you get mad at me, am I going to end up on the inside of the wall? Am I going to have to worry about
you? The funny thing is... He was just like, don't mind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might hear a little noise, but
blood curling screams. Don't worry about it. It's all right.
Don't worry about that. It's all good. He did something wrong. We're handling it. And no. Let's just take him to the police station then. Don't sit there and torture him. But you know. But they are mafia. I mean, you know, they have rules.
So I think that she's going to be in trouble in the future. I think that she's going to somehow do something that offends him and has to see him get angry. How can you be a mafia dude with a stalker addicted to this woman without having some of that drama in there? I think that's going to happen to you. That's going to happen. That's what I think.
Oh, and I think the aunt is going to come into play again, because she, even though she had her hand behind the scenes and what was going on, you really didn't hear from her, and she got quiet towards the end. And I think she's going to pop up in some way in that second book. And they have to resolve the relationship with Eden and her. So in some way,
they left it kind of.
Dad is coming back to save his baby. I know it. It's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping somebody would come and save. I mean, all of these Russian dudes and the Bratva. That's like, you don't even mention that name if you live in Russia, because that is a bad organization. You know when you hear that word, that just what that means. And for them to not be is, you know, you're going to tell me the French have more going for them than Russia? No.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of hot, because the Bratva, that's some serious pull right there. Even I've heard of that. No.
All right. I heard that this book actually has some crossover components. So there are at least one or two characters that maybe were from our other books that make cameos or make an appearance or there's a part of a storyline. Of course, I don't know what that is. So people who read the other books are probably like, oh, that's so much fun. I know how I feel when I know what's going on. So
right.
I thought that was something that'd be interesting. It's like, I wonder, you know, how that came into play. And then when I was researching the book, I found out that the paper book, you know, when you have actual pages that you turn or maybe Kindle pages that you flip, that there are sketchings or drawings that are sensual throughout the book. And I'm like, what? Hey, I think that we might have been cheated on our Audible. There's like a PDF that comes with
something.
A book if there's something else. And I don't know if I missed the PDF or if Kenya slighted us a little bit on the Audible and didn't give us those sketchings. Because I want to know what those sketchings were.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. I mean,
I think
somebody as good looking as he is, and why would you fall for that? But, you know, she might just really be infatuated with him, too, because of what he looks like. So, because, you know, the cover doesn't show much except for, I love the tattoo, though. I really like the tattoo on him.
Oh, yeah.
I love the violin tattoo. That's beautiful. And
I love
the cover.
I thought that was good.
It's really beautiful on the cover.
Okay,
but
on the cover, wasn't that a knife he had? Like, he had a big sword. He didn't have a bow. Or was that a bow?
It's a bow.
You got to look at that cover again. I don't know. I was like, is he going to cut her in half? I wasn't sure.
I thought it was like he was going to play her like a cello or something. Because it was like, you know, the design in her back. I realized once I started lifting that it was a violin. But at first I thought it was a cello. And it's a bow. I'm looking at it. It's a bow.
Okay. I read the whole book. And
it's like he's holding
no
a cello.
No spoilers or nothing, but I'm just saying. It ain't beyond him at all.
And Sonata is book two. There's only two books in the series. I'm looking at it. And there's two.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to read this one too, but I do not see a paperback for the second one.
Okay.
I just see Kindle and Audible.
Okay.
So I might read this.
You don't read it. You might
sit down and read.
We don't want to miss any more pictures.
That's right.
That there was drawings. I'm like, wait a minute.
People talk about that in the reviews.
Yes. You know, so I want to see. Now
I'm just saying, if anybody's listening to the book and they want the full experience, that people mention sketchings, and you might want to buy and flip pages to actually get the sketches part, because that's part of the experience,
right.
I'm imagining.
Yeah, because I use models.
Were you able to see the other sketches? I know you sent me a picture of one of them. Were you able to see all of them, or is it just one?
Nope. That was like a trailer for the book on the author's website or something. So I got to see one sketch with a woman straddling a violin. Okay, so I might have described it kind of off, but still, the point is, they did have. but didn't that sound like something you might want to go check out? Like, what else? What is this?
That made me go to my text messages to say, wait a minute, what is this?
Right.
Okay. Well, nobody hires me to write.
Now, everyone, go get the book. You know, the Audible. We've told them about it. Look for those pictures. I'm going to look, too. So you find the paperback.
I'm going to petition Ms. Wright to give us a PDF for anybody who buys the Audible book that it has all the pictures in it, too.
That would be cool.
So
like
we could have.
Yeah.
Enjoy that, too.
Yeah, for mine. So, the people can get an idea of the characters. But I can read. And I can picture it in my head. A lot of people can't do that. Mm-hmm. So I put pictures so they can put a face to what's going on in the. If I find a model that matches my description. Sometimes
can
I don't.
Can we talk about you a little bit?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because this idea of paranormal romance turned my head. I was like, ooh. What does that mean?
I need to know.
And my mind went all the different ways that it could mean. And then I did a little research on you. I was like, oh. So anyway, I want to know in your words, what does paranormal romance include? So give me some examples of what you mean by paranormal. And
paranormal,
then I want to know.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. What's the second part?
Oh, okay, yeah. And then I want to know if you have any insights to paranormal world. Like, where do you get your inspiration for that? Now, those are my two questions. I'm going to listen.
Okay. Well, for me, paranormal is things that do not, you know, that are not normal in our normal, in our lives. Things that go bump in the night, things that change, magic, shapeshifters, things like that, mm-hmm. vampires, werewolves, and all kinds of things. Those are, to me, paranormal, ghosts. And yes, I have had a lot of experience with that, being from New Orleans and being who my family is. I've seen things fly off the wall. I've had stuff happen to where you know that just wasn't humanly possible. And I know God, but I also know there's spirits, other spirits out there too. So I kind of grew up with that from being a child. So I've always seen, I've seen people who were possessed. I've seen people who have been in a voodoo ritual where possession is actually honored and considered sacred because the orisha or the spirit is writing them. They're taking control of them and telling people what they need to hear, or telling them about the future or things like that. So it was different in, you know, and my mother was actually born, a voodoo priestess actually delivered my mother. So she wasn't born in Oxford. So, and it goes all the way back to Africa, Nigeria, where my ancestors came from. So it's a, you know, for me, there's a lot of history, a lot of magic, and a lot of paranormal things that surround my family. So that's kind of where I drew from. And that's really where I use and go to for a lot of things. And I also talk with people because I want to make it seem more plausible or believable that this could happen. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's some mm-hmm. things people just say, well, that's not going to happen, but I've seen it. So I can't say it's not because I've seen it. But, you know, things like succubuses and stuff like that, I've not seen one, but I'm just saying mm-hmm. That's part of my paranormal world.
I'm glad I asked that question. I went to New Orleans right before the shutdown of everything, but I took a tour, a voodoo tour or a ghost mm-hmm. witches tour, and got a lot of good information about what voodoo means and what the myths are and how it was a religion, like, mm-hmm. you know, similar to a Christian religion. It was actually a faith. It wasn't anything demonic as we are often, as we often hear, it's a common
right.
myth. And so when everything that you said, we talked about that on the tour. So that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I asked that question because it was good to know where you get your inspiration for that.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. No problem.
I'm curious. So how do you I love the background of it, right? But I could totally see you saying, I'm going to write a paranormal book. How do you intertwine the paranormal and the romance? I'm curious. Because I never even heard of the genre before talking to you.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
No, seriously.
I mean it's kind of a huge one I've seen, but for me, it's, you know, like I said, my stories kind of come to me and these characters. I'll either have a dream about them or when I'm sitting down doing something else totally not related, story pops in my mind or someone starts talking. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I got to write this down. Wait. But I can't keep up with it. So I end up doing recording my voice so I can write it down later because I cannot type or write that fast. But it's, and once it gets going, it's hard to shut them off. And sometimes it will happen 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I'll be up till 4 a.m. trying to write the stuff down because it's just it's coming. So I had one story. The entire book was told to me, and I was just writing it as she was telling me. And then she was gone. So it was
a ghostwriter for real.
For real, yes, exactly.
That is so interesting.
Well, Mel, we just didn't have a name for it, but we've, in our book club, we've read about shapeshifters. We've had lots of paranormal activity, ghosts, people who live forever. But I just didn't have a name. I didn't put that name to it.
And what we have been, I guess, calling it has been fantasy as opposed to paranormal. But you're right. I mean, the whole idea of shapeshifters is exactly what you're talking about. And we've read some other
one lady heard ghosts.
I mean, and I guess there have been books that we've read that were in that, but they were not maybe classified that way. But I've enjoyed that. But, you know, you're not the we had another author. We had an author on our show that actually quite a few of the people we've interviewed that had big ideas. They literally, when I say follow your dreams, they literally had dreams that they followed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And kind of in that same idea as you. Like, we had a children's author who is on our show, Tamika Fire Brown, and she said for one of her books, she literally woke up and wrote the whole thing within, like the book itself came to her in that dream, and she wrote the whole book that day. It was a children's book, but everything came to her in that, from that dream. And it's just, very interesting to me to hear other people share that same story. The dream is different, but the story is the same.
The story is the same.
You know?
Yeah, there's quite a few authors. The characters do the same thing to them. That's how they get all their stories. It starts to come to them, and as soon as they sit down writing, they just almost can't stop until it's completed.
I truly believe that. I believe you. That's cool.
I've had friends I have a friend who writes poetry like that. She'll just say she wakes up and it's just there in her head and she writes it down. And I've heard of other people who literally have a dream or it pops into them and it just happens. I'm still waiting for that. Like, do I need to apply for that type of thing to happen? Is there an application I could fill out? I could also get a dream. Martin Luther King had a dream. I just want one of my own.
Oh,
that
girl.
I think, you know, whatever you feed your spirit and what kind of comes out. But I've had just dreams where I wake up and I'm like, oh, my God, that would make it such a good story. Let me write that down. But, you know, and then there's sometimes I lose it. As soon as I wake up, I'm like, no, that was so good. Why can't I remember it? But, yeah, it just I didn't ask for it. It just kind of happens. I mean, you can pray and ask for it, I guess, if you want to. But, power of prayer.
But you didn't. It just was something that came to you, and that's what I've heard a lot of times is that it just was born out of them. It just popped into their minds. It just arrived. It was like it was born. It was birth.
It is.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Sometimes when you have a dream that you're pregnant and you're not in real life where you can't be in real life, but that is like an interpretation of something that is being birthed inside of you that is going to come out and it's going to come to fruition for you. But it's something, either it's creative or something else, but it's going to come.
I'm pregnant, don't tell me that. Those are fighting words.
She got an idea.
That's my
something
problem.
She's going to do, or business, or whatever. It's a seed that's been planted in her, and it's going to come, come to pass. So not all pregnancy dreams mean, you're wishing for a baby. It just means sometimes that you really do have something inside you that's going to come out. And sometimes we do not really know. Because God puts a lot of things into it. And I think we get hindered by, we have someone who's our greatest enemy, and that's the devil, because he's been jealous of humankind forever. But so he can pervert the gifts that God gives us, but, he can't give us anything. He can't do anything original. He can copy, but he's nothing original. But he cannot take away what God has put in you. So if an idea or whatever comes to you is for you to do, nobody else can do it but you. So no one can take it away from you.
Gonna have to put a notebook beside my bed when I wake up.
Yes.
And you know, it's like, what are my ideas? What are my thoughts? And write that down. That's a good idea, Ramel. We could do that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's either a notebook or I record it on my phone to write that fast.
Oh, that's
I really
nice.
Don't.
Yeah.
That's like trying to, you know, and I don't take secondhand or shorthand. Is it? Yeah, shorthand to, you know, write it down. My, you know, my little scribble. I'm like, what was I saying here? No, I'll just.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. I do that all the time. I'm like, I can't read my own writing.
And you go back and try to read it, and you're like, what is this?
I try to read all the words around it, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I've got nothing. Context was.
Right. I'm usually like, I got.
You guys make a good point. Just record it. That makes the most sense.
I hadn't thought about that, but that makes a great deal of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so
even
you get
then,
up,
you know,
from beginning to end, as you remember it, because sometimes before your feet touch the floor, because for some reason, if you get out of bed, it leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just gone.
You're right.
So
though.
I would do it.
You're right.
Have your phone next to you, plugged in. Ready to go, because when you wake up, before you get out of bed, tell your dream.
Because
it's right there. And I don't know why that is true, but as soon as you step on the floor, it just poof. So I always do it before I get out of bed. Sometimes I lay in bed for a little bit just because I'm trying to refresh everything that's in my mind and put it out so that I can write it. Because otherwise, I step on that floor. That's it.
And it's funny because it would be stuff that I say. I will actually say to myself, oh, surely I won't forget this because it's so vivid and so bright.
No.
Gone.
And it just is like, who? Should have written
but
it down.
No, short-term memory.
Yeah. It goes right out the door.
It does.
It's amazing, and it does it every time, and I act surprised. Like,
the best ideas, I think, are like that. And, of course, because they're being snatched from you, so you won't do it. So think about that. It's being taken from you, so you won't do it. So that's why I pray before I go to bed.
I'm going to blame my cat for my lack. Because he wakes me up in the morning, and I get up and feed him first thing. It's early in the morning. It's my cat's fault. That's it.
That's it.
I know I got to keep the door closed, but I have two cats. And if I don't keep my bedroom door closed, they will be right up there jumping up. Nope. Mm-mm. And I also have a German Shepherd, so everybody stays out the room. Because if I'm having a good dream, that would make me mad. It's gone.
Oh, yeah.
It may be something that maybe you didn't need, but somebody else does.
Hmm.
That's why I tell people, don't think, okay, well, it's not going to matter to anyone else. You never know what you've been given to write or who it's going to touch or who's going to realize something in their life because you wrote it.
Right.
So if you don't do it, you're affecting someone else's life too, not just yours. So I have to look at it that way. And that makes it more important to me, even if it's, you know, these fictional stories. But there's, in all of them, there is a moral to it, and there is something that you can get out of it. And the biggest thing is love. That's why I all of my stories, I put it as love reigns in this world that I've created. Because that is the power of love, because God is love. And no matter what, it is always going to conquer evil. Even the most heinous thing that comes up, it doesn't matter. We're gonna fall down. We're gonna be tricked. All these things, but he knows that, and he's made a way. So that's why everything that comes out, I push it to where it's got to have an HEA, which is a happily ever after. Because but in real life, because we go through battles, but we overcome them, and I've overcome a lot in my life. So that's why I don't have my characters. They suffer a little bit, but they come through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out much better for it. that.
Well,
and the biggest
one,
I think,
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest one
that.
Is,
I didn't mean to.
You're welcome. Leonessa, Passions Prior Leonessa, that one is really based, I didn't know at the time until after I did my test to find out where my family comes from, the Sierra Leone, this, mm-hmm. which makes that book so much more important to me because it was a dream. And mm-hmm. someone from the Sierra Leone told me that, he said, it's like you were there. He said, even the accent that you put in the book, and it's an audio book, and he says that you, he said, it really, he said, it reminded him of home. And I'm like, I've never been there. So he's like, are you
wow.
sure? I'm like, no, I've never been there. But this came to me, and so I wrote it down. I believe that Leonessa actually may be an ancestor of mine. I don't know. But it's I just connected so much with her and Lathera that it just seemed so normal. It was like it just came out. I wrote it one day. So mm-hmm. it was
wow.
It just flowed after that
what?
Dream. It was. So I'm like, everybody's that's, like, you should write another one. I was like, I don't know. That was 10 years ago, but I might go. I might write a holiday book or something to see what happened and, you know, what she goes through. But everything that they experienced from what was going on with the shapeshifters, how they came to be, they were lions, and Mami Wata was the goddess, of, you know, but she was who gave her, she was a healer, and she gave
mm-hmm.
her, she's the only one to try with the blue eyes because she has been touched by Mami Wata personally, which is the goddess that they mm-hmm. worship. And everything, they have the diamonds, which are big in Africa, that they actually use to record their life story. When they die, it all goes into that diamond, and only the elders keep them. So it was a certain way and a tradition throughout the whole thing. And so all of that just like came out. I'm like, wow, what is all this? But yeah, and that's, it was really interesting and fun to be a part of that. And then realize later on when I got my results back that my eldest ancestor from seven generations ago was in
mm-hmm.
Sierra Leone by the name of Mindy. And it was a person who lived somewhere between 1560 to like 1890, something like that. And that was the original place for my family. And I was like, wow. And my mother, it was Ethiopia. So we went, because they did a whole breakdown on her side of the family, because we never knew where my grandmother came from, her mother, because she was dropped off
okay.
of my great-grandmother's doorstep. So she was adopted. So it was cool
okay.
to find all this out, but the fact that, you know, 10 years ago, this came to me, and then I find out my roots 10 years later, that
mm-hmm.
actually coincides with that book. And it's like, whoa, okay.
Wow.
Let's pay attention more, you know, because this is not just a fictional story. This is, it came from a place, you know, that's connected to me.
Right.
That's exciting.
It is. Very exciting. And it took a full 10 years before you, between the time that you wrote it and the
exactly.
time that you realized that there was a connection.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to say,
that's
it's
amazing.
Never too late.
Yeah.
I'm hearing another podcast episode, Ramel. We should get our DNA checked and talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool.
I use CRI Genetics. He's a scientist. He started it. He does genetic testing, and they go back several generations. They do an advanced timeline for you to find out where your chromosomes, where they originate. And it was weird because as a whole person, I'm 51%
mm-hmm.
European and only 33% African, which was weird. So
wait,
like
you didn't
20,
know that? All right, like, hmm.
No, I had no idea. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got
that's
there, I was like, what do you mean I'm 51% North? You know, it's like European. And it was Italian, French, and German. And like 0.6% Bulgaria. Like, ooh. But yeah,
wow.
only 33% African. And I'm like, oh, okay. There was a lot of mixing going on.
Yeah.
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 The oldest
so
thing,
the
they
way-
went, yeah. It's CRI Genetics. And it was not expensive at all. And they keep up with you, and you can log into register you once you get your kit. And they
mm-hmm.
will send you the reports, and you can, like, keep track of what they're doing and what they're testing and when you get your results. So they say 8 weeks, but I had mine in like 5. So
Pretty fast. Yeah, that's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. How does it compare to like the more like known like what is
Ancestry.com or something like that?
Ancestry.
Something like that.
I think because they don't have the family tree thing where people can log in, like 23andMe or Ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a breakdown of your heritage and where and your. It's more sciencey, I guess. More science in it. Amazon's their thing. So they'll do what's called a mother haplo, which is they'll it goes all the way from your mother, her mother, her mother, and her mother all the way back down. You can't do the father's side because you'd need your father's DNA for that. But you can do your mother's. And it doesn't, you know, it gives you the name of your earliest relative, but it doesn't, and a famous person that you're related to. And my person was Eva Longoria from San Antonio.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
really?
Funny because I grew up in San Antonio. I'm from New Orleans, but we lived in San Antonio for 20 years. So,
that's so funny.
Your cousin was down the street from you. He didn't know.
The whole time, I didn't know.
I wonder what
so cool.
famous person I'll be related to. I'd like to start putting in dibs for that.
Okay, so we definitely need to do that because that would be so much fun. Even I don't care. I just want to know.
Because it does give you a breakdown of everything. I mean, down to the percentage, how many chromosomes you'd have in common with that area and... I mean, it's just, even to the point after slavery, we ended up where the United States, my relatives came from Arkansas, even though I was born in New Orleans. But they said they migrated. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that we had Native American. Native American did not show up at all. What showed up was actually Peru, Guatemala, and Colombia, like 4.9%.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, whoa. Okay.
That's one of the things that they say about the genetic test is that everybody and their grandmas, especially if they're black, thinks that they got some American Indian in them. And most of the time, it doesn't even show up.
You
know,
show
time, it doesn't
show
up. Show
it up.
Yeah.
Like,
damn,
because
it ain't
somebody lied. Somebody lied, Mom.
Just
you know, my mom keeps saying, we. And I said, no, Mom. Here's the proof.
No.
There's no Native American anywhere. I will say what really surprised me was India. One of my old, like 12 generations, India. And I'm like, that's me.
Wow.
I love the Indian culture and I love African culture. And I have the clothing, the food, just I've always been attracted to that and Asia. And then my real name, Mahogany is my pen name. My real name, Tanika, it's like Japanese. And my dad was in Okinawa when I was born. So. He was like, Tanika. So the family joke is, I said, that was your girlfriend, wasn't it? So they sent my mom back to the States to have me. So I could have been born in Japan. But so I was like,
no.
And it was like, it was funny because China popped up as well. I think it was like less than 1%, but it was China. And it wasn't the Mandarin part. It was something else. I forgot, but I was surprised to see that too. And I was like, wow, okay. So many things. And they say that the DNA of a black woman is like the seed that creates all the other, the makeup of the world. So there is a thing that everyone believes that Eve is black because she was the mother of all. So, and they said I have a black woman's DNA. There's so many. And looking at my report, I would say that's true. Because that's like so many in there.
Yeah, you
were
everywhere.
Yeah, I would have never thought Germany, France, and Italy. I would have never suspected that at all. And then for it to be the higher percentage than African, that's what threw me. But then after looking at the Ethiopian women, they are so beautiful. And my mother's beautiful, and her mother was beautiful. And my eldest daughter, who is Hispanic, she took on more of that Ethiopian look. And they are really, I mean, just, it's like the most beautiful women I've seen. It's weird. I mean, not really weird, but, you know, it's like you don't see that every day. I was looking up, you know, Tiffany Haddish, she is also from Ethiopia. That's her roots, go back to Ethiopia. She actually was wearing an outfit, I think, 2 years ago at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
That was
Etrian. It's from her father's, I don't want to say it incorrectly, but her father's tribe, I want to say. I don't know if that's correct, but from her father's area, because he was like royalty, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
I remember reading something about that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Because the outfit she wore, I would have never thought anything of it. But when I looked up Ethiopia, they all had those outfits on it, the dresses, the white and the, you know,
mm-hmm.
ornate beading and, you know, the stitching.
Right.
Just like everything's handmade.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Right.
It's like one of the stuff is expensive. It's handmade, literally handmade. I would not.
Right.
I would not throw it in the washing machine. We're doing it.
No.
Dry clean. No. Somebody spent hours on this thing.
I looked up her dress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And her, you said it's from Eritrea, is that?
Eritrean, I think is.
Yes, Eritrean.
Mm-hmm. Eritrean.
Yeah, that's so pretty.
But it all has to do with their faith, too, because they're supposedly the tribe from Queen Sheba that visited Solomon. She brought back a child with her. Just, they're all very light-skinned. I noticed.
Oh, okay.
They really don't. If it wasn't for their hair, you couldn't tell. It's hard to tell.
Right.
But they're really,
right.
And I would think this. A lot of Ethiopian Jews made the transfer. There was a movie that came out about that. There really was an exodus. The Jews from Israel actually went and helped them, so many to cross because they were being persecuted in Africa and Ethiopia. So they brought them to Israel. And they have a whole community of Black Jews, Ethiopian Jews, in Israel because of that exodus.
You know, I actually heard about that, but I haven't thought about it in years. But now that you're saying it, I do remember. I do remember. I think it's so interesting. I mean, we don't get a chance to, in school, we don't spend any real time learning about any history that really belongs outside of American history, and even that.
Even my world history class didn't cover this at all.
Right,
Holocaust, but anything more we did not cover. We did not go into Africa. We didn't go into things like that. I didn't learn that till college. There were just a lot of things that you don't learn. And that's why I teach my kids, you know, look, we need to learn our history, where we come from. Because,
that's why college helped me do that. I had more classes that I could look at and to delve deeper. But you're just not going to get that in public schools. Now, I do think that after everything that's happened during this pandemic, but with the protests, that schools are going to try, our communities, I think there might be a bigger push to include more information, true history for African Americans in education. I do think it's going to take some time to get there, but I believe that there's a chance that that's going to be on the agenda more than it has before. Like there'll be more foundations to make sure that certain books are placed or classes that can be taught and people will look into that. So we're getting there, but it's still really on ourselves to learn what we need to know.
Right.
If we lean on education, we're not going to get it.
There's only something to really teach for standardized testing. It's what you're really trying to learn is to pass those tests, but it's really not giving you the full picture. And I hate to say whitewash, but it has been, because I know everybody's shamed because there was slavery. Well, there's been slavery in all parts of the world. So it's not something that America has to be ashamed about, because there's been slavery everywhere. I mean, one of the biggest stories in the Bible is about all the Hebrews who were enslaved in Egypt. So and how Moses, you know, God used him to bring them out. So, like, why are you, you know, they're not crying. Egypt is not crying that they had slaves. Why are you crying? You had slaves here. So, you know, but I think if people delve into history, find out what's really, we have no reason to be against anyone, because even just reading my results, I am more than one thing. And I look Black. Uh-huh. But nobody would know that unless they had their, you know, so no one can actually say they're pure anything at all.
Right. Not at this point.
Nobody's pure, not even the Chinese. And they have the largest population.
People, you know, fall in love. And I'm not saying like, you don't even, you know, make the connection between slave master and slave kind of thing, because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like people find love amongst all races, you know, and so you're going, it's going to happen. It's always happened and it's going to continue to happen.
Right, because there just really isn't, there's no reason it should be. And there's been rapes mixing forever. I mean, so there's, like I said, no one's won anything. You might look like one,
right,
but you're not. No one is. Because it's really surprising what the genetics came up with. I would have never guessed. I knew Africa,
you know,
but I didn't know where.
Right, yeah, of course we don't know where. I had someone ask me that. It was a lady, she was from Mexico. And, but I don't even know why she asked me that. But she asked me, well, where are you from? You know, and I said, mm-hmm. Oh, from North Carolina. No, like, where are you from? It's like, I have no idea. I don't know what part, you know, I'm somewhere in Africa. That's what I'm going with. But that's why when you talked about the genetics, I think it's about time that I get some more clarity on that.
Yes. Because actually, even looking at the history of even the film Amistad brought out a lot for me, so I started doing more research. The majority of the slave trade was out of West Africa. So I bet you probably 90% of the Africans here of us, African-Americans, are from Nigeria, Gambia, Senegal, in that area, because those were the shipping points and the routes. So I think... because, you know, at the top, you've got Egypt and Morocco. So the west part of Africa is where they had those shipping routes and the trade routes. So I think that's where a lot of the slaves came from that are in the United States. So I would not be surprised if you came up Gambian or Yoruba or Ethiopian, because it was that area in West Africa. And that's the area I'm most drawn to, because that is where the shipping lines were. Even the slave traders from Italy, from... all over from England, it was, and that's where the colonization came in. Those are the largest ports. As a matter of fact, they blew up one of them. It was in the movie Amistad, and they actually blew up because that's where they were keeping them. And the Yoruba people, that, because it's not just Nigeria, I found it was the, it's called the Isan, it's Esan, but they pronounce it differently, Isan. But they call, you know, the English people could never say it right, so they call them something totally different. But they are a tribe that it's called that because they show the tribe that left because they traveled,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of,
okay.
It was a war between them and Nigeria, and they finally got to be included in Nigeria. But that tribe is exactly, that's the tribe that my family comes from. And it was great to even find that out, to know exactly where, because I've had a Nigerian guy tell me years and years ago on an airplane, and mm-hmm. he said, you look like my mother. And I said, no, I don't. Aww. He said, yes, you do. You from Nigeria? I know. Never been. He showed me a picture of his mother. I kid you not. She could have been mine. The same features, the nose, the eyes. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I said, maybe I am. But I never, after that, it was like in the 90s, I never pursued it. But when I really started getting serious about it, and I said, you know what, let me do this test and see where I ended up. He's right. And I just found the tribe. And I found that's where the origination of the Yoruba Santeria voodoo from Yoruba.
Oh, wow.
It was natural for my people to end up in New Orleans, because that's where the majority, it's like that's where there's a huge part of it is because it's that religion. And they try to hide it by pretending to be Catholic because they have the different names for the Ifas or the Orishas, the gods and goddesses, and with the saints. They correlated to different saints in the Catholic Church. So that's how they got away with worshiping their gods and goddesses, but under the guise of, okay, no, we're worshiping the saints. But there was, each one has a correlation. So they could hide.
Right.
In plain sight.
Right.
That is so interesting. Oh, you know what? We went from what, Belladonna? Belladonna to
New Orleans to Nigeria.
And back. That's so cool.
And Ethiopia.
Yeah. China. I mean, we've been all around the world today.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad we got to do this because I really enjoy having someone else, like, you know, review with me. And I'm going to say my final review for that book is that I'm still going to give it, because there was so much to it, I'm still going to give it 5 hearts. I don't do stars. I say hearts. And because it kept my interest. Yes, she was annoying, but but he was more interesting, even for him, from quoting Dina, not so. What do they call him? The anti-hero? He's not really a hero. But he loves and protects her. But so he's not a. I mean, he's a bad guy.
I don't know if it's love. That's not love.
I mean, to me, that I say infatuation, but you know, things have, you know, great marriage started from just fashion, you know, just lust. Because, yeah, it always starts off that way, though. I mean, when you get married, you're like so in love with each other, you have 6-7 times a day or whatever. And then, you know, as you get older, married longer, that kind of goes off the things. As other things become more important, it's not so much the sex, but the companionship and the love between that person. So,
Mahogany, I guess, this is not for tonight, but I need to talk to you about having sex 7 times a day. I'm sorry.
I was like, 7 times a day? Ramel, girl. When we hang up, we going to talk about her.
We're not going to talk about it tonight, but that was when you said it. I didn't hear anything else after what you said. I didn't hear any of it. So I got stuck on 7 times a day. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the honeymoon cycle. That's what that was. That was the honeymoon. That's it.
Girl, I like your honeymoon.
No, I'll be 50 next month. That doesn't work no more. So,
you found other interests.
I guess that's out of 1 month. So.
Hey, well, I'm glad you got it at one time. I'm sorry. I didn't hear anything you said afterwards. So you said that,
but
it's okay. I heard you. I'll relay it to her later. I heard it.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm so immature. But it's all right. Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Mahogany, for having us.
Thank you for coming on. Yes, I appreciate it. You guys are a lot of fun. Which I knew you would be. I like, you know, like I said, I like to have fun on my show because we talk about everything.
Good.
It's not just books. We kind of go off the deep end, like I said. So, and we do. I just it happened to flow, but you know, because we're people too, and I know we're authors, and we are kind of an odd bunch because we like to just, we have people talking to us that nobody else can hear or see, and we write these stories. You know, what we're going to come up with, and you know, there's a. Sometimes we write characters that you're like, there is no way I would do that if I were you. But,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what is your final review?
Review?
Reps.
If I were to give it heart, and this is based on the fact that this is not my maybe genre, but I would give it 3, and I'll tell you why really quickly.
Okay.
I'm not into the stalking thing, and so as someone who's been stalked before, I just that really as soon as I hit that,
That's trigger.
It was a trigger, and it just there were levels of the book that I enjoyed, like the mafia stuff, but as soon as we got to that part, it wasn't so bad that, you know, I felt super triggered, but it was like, wow, I don't know how anybody would really want to go there, but I think, if someone understands that's part of the deal, and they don't mind that, they could, especially for this genre, I think it would probably be okay. I think it would be good.
He did tell her. I mean, most stalkers won't tell you, but he did,
That's true.
I'm not excusing it, but I'm just saying he did tell her.
Yeah, he did.
Because
he could
have just kept lying. Yeah, how do you feel?
So why'd they have to do that? Well, why can't you just have been satisfied with the two of y'all? Because that was it. It was like, okay, we got this side and we got that side. Because I'm just saying, all right, fine. Thank you, Ramel, for passing the ball to me. I can only tell you my truth. And I'm somewhere around 2, maybe 1.5. My expectations are just somewhere else. What I like is somewhere else. And there was part of the maybe as much as a 2, because there was parts in the beginning that I was really excited about, and it had my attention in the beginning. But for so many wet places, it fell off for me in ways that I'm not going to give you in this time, because first of all, I'd have to spoil the book, and I don't want to spoil the book. And so I'm gonna leave it at that. But maybe, if you want to leave off on a good note, if you averaged us all, we'd be at about 3.
I want to say this too, though. I did enjoy her writing. With everything coming together, it was a miss for me. But I would possibly read another one of her books.
It kind of ended like a lifetime. It ended like a lifetime movie for me. At the end of old lifetime movies where they stop it and they kind of run the credits at the end or something like that. Not the credits, but they tell you what happened. His dialogue at the end, setting us up for the next book, felt odd. Very, very, like, I'm going to go ahead and put all the questions out so you know what the next book would be about. But I do believe he was in the midst of having wild sex while having these thoughts. It was just, what?
I know.
So anyway.
Right. It was good.
Like,
yeah,
I know what you're doing right now.
Thinking about what you're, yes, you got her in the, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't spoil it. Let the readers find out what's going on.
Yeah, I purposely didn't bring out some certain things that
as a whole. Yeah, as a whole, I think the average between all the three of us, I say we probably land somewhere about between 3 and 4, for different reasons. And yeah, as a whole, as far as writing goes, I think she did a good job with it. As far as some aspects of the character's personality and things like that, I really don't judge that, because that's what the characters, that's who they are. But, so Mahogany says, yes, this book, you will find a lot in it. And if you like mafia romances, then this is probably the book for you. If you like sweet romance, this is probably not the book for you, because it was pretty dark. So I will say that, because there's some people like sweet romance, Googly Eyes, Lane Field.
She's talking about me.
Right.
She's talking about me. She's talking about me. It's okay. I'm a sweet, sweet romance.
That's romantic.
Mahogany, I want to tell you this. So I am so happy that you gave it to us, that you had us to come on your show to review it with you. This was our first opportunity to do something like this, so we want to thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes, anytime. I mean, I think, you know, cross-promoting another show, because you're not competition. I mean, we're not even talking about the same things.
Right.
So that's why how I look at it. As, you know, like I get someone else's opinion, and you guys are podcasters. And I had another one lady that was on, I think, last week, and she was a lot of fun, too. She was actually from Haiti, and she was really sweet. And so I like getting different opinions, and this also promotes your show as well. So I've, you know, kind of want to get that out there, too, because you guys have a great show, and I like listening to your episodes, because you guys are a lot of fun.
Aww.
And I like the back and forth with you guys. I really enjoy listening to your show, and that's another reason why I asked and I chose you, because I was listening to your show. I'm like, well, this is really cute. Yeah, I like that. Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. You know, so I was, you know, when I listened, I was like, okay, yeah, let me have them on here, because it's going to be fun, because they like to get into
I hope you had fun, because I had fun.
Yeah, I did.
I did really laugh.
Yeah, I see. And then we both learned some things. So all three of us. I can't. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, and I would love to have you guys, if you want to come on again, or, you know, if you want me to come on your show and say something, or.
You know what?
However.
Sometimes let's pick the book for you.
Yeah. One for me, and I'll read it, and we'll, we can do that. So.
Yeah. That'd be
all great. Right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this evening, and I hope that you have a great evening, and I wish you blessings, peace, and love.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silvering at mahoganysilvering.net. Thank you and good night.